everyone. My name is Luke John Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Jane M. Powers, and she is an award-winning international speaker, sales trainer, and best-selling author. She has guided folks, thousands of people, in fact, including entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and corporations, for over 30 years in helping them to communicate and sell more effectively. She teaches people to speak with confidence and to sell with authority. And as a speaker, she's been described as a world-class dynamo who mesmerizes, excites, and inspires. And as a sales trainer, she has mastered the art and science of speaking to sell and selling to serve. And she has designed simple systems to help people grow their business by articulating what they do with clarity and results. And she is someone who has founded several multimillion-dollar businesses and firms. So she is the founder of Let's Talk Impact and Core Communication. And as an author, she has written the book Speak with Confidence, Sell with Authority, which has gotten great reviews, 5-star reviews on Amazon. And Jane's life is the pure embodiment of grit, determination, and hard work. And she's someone who gives back, and she'll talk about that as we get into the conversation. And so I'm so excited to have her here, and she's one of the most successful people that I've ever had the chance to sit down and have a conversation with, so I'm so excited. And we're so lucky to have her here, and she's a very busy woman, so she was able to carve out some time in her packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. So onward we go. Thank you so much, Jane, for coming on. It is truly an honor to have you here. And I guess the first question would be, you know, what is your background, and how did you first gravitate towards what you do today?
So first off, I so appreciate you, and I don't come to you with a deep voice, everyone, so I apologize first off that it's not the Deep Voice Show today, but we'll deep dive into some great tips and pointers that I can provide you as best I can. So, you know, you asked me how am I doing what I do, or what gravitated me. You know, the first part of me wants to answer the truth, and then the other part of me will be politically correct. So the truth is, I'm so unemployable. It's ridiculous. I have been fired more times than your entire listening audience, I'm sure.
I'm
telling you, Luke, I tend to be a I don't know if it's more of a free spirit or bossy, controlling, and think I do it best. I don't know. I actually have been doing what I do, and the truth of the matter is there is a why behind everyone's why. Like, I love Simon Sinek, right? Why do you do what you do? And world peace, save kids, save the animals.
Right.
There's always a why behind that why. It's a great why.
Right.
It's an honorable why. But I always ask the question, like, what's really behind that? So my why behind the why is to prove the generations in my family wrong, that we have the power to have a voice, and in that voice, we can do anything. And I tell you, I've been around the block. I grew up in a very interesting family, as maybe some of you have, youngest of seven. And it was a bit of a complicated family, riddled with abuses and addictions and you name it. And, you know, when you're the youngest of seven, that stuff rolls downhill. And I believe that the youngest is always the smartest. So because we've seen everybody make those mistakes. So and we got smarter because we thought, okay, don't do that. That just, you get in a lot of trouble. So I learned to dodge bullets very young in my life. But what I did was I started out working in social services. So I worked in the prison, drug and alcohol treatment centers. I went into the community working with juvenile delinquents, Gosh, I did intervention, sexual abuse counseling, intervention, and yeah, you name it, I hit the front lines. And what that was, it was my way to heal me.
Right.
And so most of us, you hear that saying, what is it, Luke? You teach what you need the most.
I
was out there teaching, the prison. I wanted to reform. I wanted to change the dynamic. Then, my mother died when I was young. So I'm like, hey, go into the drug and alcohol, save everyone. And then it got to the point where I went, wow, I've got to put myself first. And I started really, really working on myself. And it was many, many years ago, and I'm telling you, Luke, I am an international speaker. I have been on more platforms, but if you would have met me in my early 30s, you would have thought, my God, this poor woman is never going to make it in life.
I
was scared to death of my shadow. I had no self-confidence, no self-esteem, and I was invited to be on the Oprah Winfrey Show in the audience, not one of her guests, went on the Oprah Winfrey Show. At that point, I was hiding out from my family because I had blown the lid off the secrets in my family. So there were death threats and all that. And I went on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And at that time, she was at the height of her exposure in front of millions. And there I am dead center on the camera. And my secret was out. I had to find my voice and stand up for myself. And I started hitting stages to do sexual abuse prevention and everything. And then the fun part is I decided I might want to make some money doing this.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
I love giving back, but I thought, man, duct tape is holding my car together. So I went out into the world and started speaking, had a full-time job all at the same time, but everything I've done, I have done it through the means of communication and having an effective ability to sell and articulate my message so clearly that people are leaning in and they are saying, I want more of what you have. So and here's what happened. If you remember back in, I was doing multi-millions in real estate here in Arizona, top 3%. And I don't say that to be braggalicious or be like, ooh, look at me. But everything I did in my life, it's been a goal to be at the top. And if anybody remembers, 2008, like it was yesterday. We know what happened. The market went crashing, and I went crashing down with it, and ended up sitting behind my computer for about 2 years, crying because I didn't know what to do. I mean, I didn't want to run after short sales. I didn't want to do REOs. And email came across and said, and I've always been on a spiritual journey, email came across and said, be a spiritual life coach. And through my tears, I said, yes. It was a way for me to combine my speaking and sales experience with my passion, which was to help people find their voice. In their voice is their power. And I started that business. Within 8 months, I was at six figures, and people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I speak, I sell. And they're like, you should make that your business. So I wrote down a little formula and started speaking on speaking and selling, wrote my book, and created a multi-million-dollar business, and haven't stopped because the truth behind what I do is all about you, your listeners, me, everyone speaking up and articulating what they do so that they can make more money to serve at a greater level.
Wow. That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing it. That answer.
You bet.
That's incredible, and it's an incredible story. Joe Rogan, who's like the top guy in what I do, podcasting, he says that everyone needs to realize that they have to be the star of their own movie, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and your movie or your life is an incredible story of growth and transformation and redemption. And, you know, and it's curious because you obviously were the youngest of seven, so you got to see everyone mess up. And we see that all the time. You know, Gen Z is going to do better than my generation because they saw how we screwed up. So that's totally true. And
I hope somehow somebody learns from something going on in this world right now.
Of course. And, you know, I actually had another guest on the show who said that he's all about being selfishly selfless. And so I do believe that behind every why is self-interest, and that self-interest sort of drives the world around in a way. And, you know, it's funny. There's a movie, I'm sure you've seen it, called it came out in the late 80s, I think, with Michael Douglas. And he was playing a character named Gordon Gekko. And he says greed is good, that greed is what makes things happen. And I thought to myself, is that really true or not? You know, but then I thought maybe it's partly true that people's self-interest is what drives them and what drives the world to function in a sense.
I think it depends on the greed. Like, you know, I look at certain circumstances like the pandemic.
Yeah.
I think when people go into panic mode, we by nature become a bit narcissistic. It's go load up on all the toilet paper you can for self-preservation. I think there's a difference between greed and accumulation desire. You know, it's about I want to accumulate so that, you know, I look at a couple of things. You know, I don't volunteer. I don't go down to the local shelters. I don't volunteer in that way. I'll donate.
Right.
But, you know, I found the means by which I have established my success. You know, I adopted a young man. He was 10 years old out of the project of Phoenix here, who was very underserved. I had a friend that lost everything and went and bought a house so that, they can live there. So, you know, I've done that a couple of times over. Now, it's selfishly motivated because I'm buying real estate that's going to grow, but it also provides a safe haven for people that are in need. So I'm all about grow your wealth, but do it with a sense of purpose. And not addiction, because I'll tell you, it's easy to get addicted to more than. I'm running after more than, and that unfortunately is, that took a toll on me many years ago. I got to slow down.
Right. And that's amazing. So obviously there has to be a balance, sort of like a yin and a yang. You have to, you know, self-interest is good, but not excessive, you know, greed or more than, as you say, and it's interesting. From my research, I see that it helps to actually be a go-giver and a go-getter, because when you give a lot, you give so much of yourself, a lot of it does come back to you. And I think a lot more people are realizing that, you know, with the law of reciprocity. And obviously, when I give to people, I want something in return subconsciously. But, you know, so there is that selfishness in there. So it goes back to what my friend said, being selfishly selfless. But there's enough for everyone. You know, and, you know, obviously people do have to look out for their own interests because, you know, when you're a passenger on an airplane, they tell you, you got to put your mask on first before you help someone else put their mask on. So you got to obviously take care of yourself in order to better take care of others. So I think it all balances out. It's not either or. They both go together, I guess, like a yin and a yang. And, you know, they're opposites, but they're opposites that work together. And one can't exist without the other. And it's curious because, you know, I read a lot of stuff, and there was, I read a book by Russell Simmons, and he talks about how, I think it was Reverend Run, he's the hip-hop artist. He talks about how if you want to help the poor, you can't help the poor by being poor yourself, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, that's like
that's
the quote
work.
by
yeah.
Yeah, that's the quote by Anne Frank. I don't know if you're familiar with this quote by Anne Frank. No one has ever become poor by giving.
Right.
That is so simple and so true, and it is exactly like no one becomes poor by giving. Give, and it's the law of compensation. The law of you know, compensation in the world says, hey, it opens the floodgate. It opens the floodgate for everything to come back to you. And if you're, you know that that saying, if you're just holding so tight to a penny, God can't put a nickel in.
right.
You can't open your hand to receive if you're holding on real tight to the money that you've got.
Right. And I think the world's a better place when people do pursue their self-interest. You know, you look at people like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, you know, they've made the world a better place by, you know, cashing in on their ideas and whatnot. And, you know, there's a book I always recommend to people called The Go-Giver by Bob Berg. You may have heard of Bob Berg. And he also wrote Endless Referrals, which is a great book. And he also wrote Go-Giver Sells More. And he talks about this a lot. You know, this principle that, and also Cialdini's Influence. And I don't know if you've read Influence by Cialdini. Great book. And, you know, there was a wealthy industrial magnate in the U.S. Named Carnegie. He once said that, you heard of him. He once said he wanted to spend the first part of his life accumulating money and then the last part of his life giving it away. Interesting. So it's obviously you lived out that principle of, you know, of being selfishly selfless, so to speak. And you know, it's interesting. You got to be an audience member in Oprah. And, you know, I love Oprah. I grew up watching her show. She's one of my heroes or sheroes. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you got to be that close to her. I actually had a guest who actually flew a plane that she was on, and he spent the whole afternoon with her. I was so envious. But it's interesting how you saw that. I think it was an advertisement to be a spiritual life coach, and I guess it was sort of like a sign from the universe, and you went with it, and look where you are now. You know, you went from being a speaker and doing real well and realizing you had a gift, you had a talent, and you went ahead and parlayed, you know, people told you about that gift and you parlayed that gift into making money for yourself, but you're sharing that talent with the world, and that's what it's all about. You know, sharing your talent with the world. You know, they're entertained and being helped by you, and you're helping yourself. So it all ties together. And you know, you're doing it also because you love to do it. You know, the thing is, you always want to do what you love, and the money will come later. The money's like a bonus. And you're not just doing it solely to earn money for yourself. And I think that's so important. I think Oprah was the first one, I think, who told me something when I was watching her show, that she does it because she loves it and the money's a bonus. And so, you know, people actually told me this for a long time. You know, people would say things like, well, Luke, you got a great voice and you should do something about it. I would speak on the phone to people, the customer service professional, and they would, the customers on the phone would say things like, well, you know, whatever you're doing, you should stop doing it and go into broadcasting.
Nice.
And I had a coworker who would tell me all the time, hey, you got to do something with your voice, man. What's going on? You can't. You know, I was working, you know, like a job that didn't really pay all that much, somewhat above minimum wage. And so it got me thinking, and I want to look into doing voice work and voiceovers and stuff like that. Definitely. So I could see, you know, there's some commonality between you and I when it comes to, you know, realizing you have talents, people pointing it out to you and saying, maybe I should do something with it, you know. You know, I wanted to thank you for sharing your life story with us. You also mentioned, before we move on, the idea of teaching folks what you need the most. And I think that's so critical, you know. They say if you really want to know something, if you truly know something, you have to be able to teach it to someone else. I think that's very critical. So thank you for sharing that. And so... you know, you've lived a great life so far, and there's more to it, of course. And I'm curious, in addition to what you've shared with us so far, what important life lessons have you learned yourself or from others?
You know, I have been on a perpetual learning forever. I mean, my entire life has been, and I think that's what has kept me surviving in a very different way. And I think it's, you know, the greatest life lesson is that I can only count on me. And people, no matter what, they don't mean to. And even I, we will let others down. Like, if we're human, and whether we, you know how to read minds or not, we will forever be disappointed in others. And I had a tendency to put many on a pedestal. I had a tendency to say, oh, God, they're way better than me because they're making this money. They're way better than me because they have X, Y, and Z. And, it's a lovely term called comparanoia. You know, we compare ourselves and determine our worthiness based on what we see in the world. And I believe my greatest lesson was to stand fully in my uniqueness. So if you don't know what your uniqueness is, ask someone.
Right.
Like, people told Jesus, they were told, oh, dude, you've got to do something with that voice. Or, you know, with me. People kept saying to me, oh, my God, because they'll see me on stage or presenting or whatever.
Right,
like, oh, my God, you should be a comedian. I would freeze. I'd be like, three guys walk into a bar. I can't. I'm not a comedian, but I happen to use humor to communicate.
Right.
But
right.
for me, I needed to get over myself and find what was unique about me. And what did I have that no one else out there has? And I'll tell you, we have enough copycatters out in the world. Just be you and be the best version of you, and do not apologize for who you are.
Right, right.
I'll give you an example. Right. I went down south. I was doing a speaking engagement down south, and it was a group. It was a big women's organization. And I walked in, and I thought, back in the day, it would have devastated me. Everybody's in these high heels and these lovely dresses, and they're all, just all glitzed up, good southern gals. And they'll tell you, oh, we're from the South. And I came in, and I happened to be a little bit edgier. If you want a picture, go to janempowers.com. I wear leather pants, cool jacket, and Doc Martens. Doc Martens can be blingy, or they can have skulls, or they could just. But I walked in.
I walked in
with no apology for who I am.
Okay.
And I had women pulling me aside and saying, "What I would give to dress like you and get out of this getup I have on."
Wow.
And I just would say to each and every one of them, I'd say, listen, do what you do best, be who you are, and never apologize. Because as long as we are acting for someone else or being for someone else, you will suffer emotionally, physically, financially, in every way.
Wow. That's so true.
Yeah,
and you know, it's interesting. And thank you so much for sharing that. There's a book where they it talks about interviews that they've done with older people who are close to dying, or you know, and they just want to know how they think and their regrets. They found that one of the biggest regrets that a lot of these older folks who are close to death were having this hospice was that they regretted not living life on their terms and living the life they lived the life that others wanted. And, you know, it's interesting that people need, you know, you don't want to end up, you know, close to death, dying. I think we're all going to die. And then, you know, you have this regret that you didn't live life on your terms. And, you know, that's so important that people be them and you know, find that uniqueness and don't stuff it down. And people need to realize what their talents are and their skills so they can perhaps maximize and parlay those talents. And not waste time with other stuff when they could be doing what they're really, really good at and what they really, really want to do. And that, it's interesting how you talk about, you know, finding your uniqueness. I think it's similar to finding what your life purpose is. You know, Mark Twain once said that you have two birthdays in your life, the day you were born and the day you figure out why.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to speak.
That's so true. It's so true.
Yeah.
And what many, I spoke, gosh, this is a handful of years ago. I spoke at the, and I'm going to, I'll tell you the name, but it has since changed.
Sure.
I spoke
right.
at the Asian American Association
right.
of Business Owners and something. And
right.
I did a presentation. I talked about being the youngest of seven and, you
right.
know,
right.
my family. I wanted to be an attorney. And my dad said, well, that's for smart kids and you're sort of dumb. And
oh,
I wanted
wow.
to be a professional speaker. And he said, well, I don't think anybody really wants to listen to you. And
oh, my.
So I listened to that input. And it was
oh
interesting
God.
Because after I spoke, a couple of the leaders of the organization, Asian Americans, came up and said, it's interesting that you were discouraged from being more. We were only encouraged to be beyond more. And the,
wow.
the repercussions
wow.
of that are identical.
Mm.
What they
mm.
live with within them
mm.
was the same thing
mm.
I live with. But it
mm.
was a very interesting dynamic to see
mm.
that, you know,
mm.
my biggest thing, if I can impress upon anyone that is listening,
mm.
if I can impress, do not let anyone hijack your life or your
mm.
agenda.
Right.
Do not let
right.
yourself get hijacked. You know, it's like people work with coaches, right? They go and they work
right.
with coaches and they become bad.
Right.
They're sheep. They're like, go
yeah.
with the rest of the herd. And
right.
I'm one that if everybody's going right, I will go left. Why?
Okay.
Because everyone's going right.
right
I'm not
right,
following
right.
the crowd. And
right.
what I found
right.
is that if I were to go right and try to be, do, act like everyone else, I got angry. I was frustrated.
Mm.
I just absolutely despised. And then
mm.
I would start to think, well, you people all suck. And it was only because I
mm.
wasn't living in my full truth.
Right. It was, yeah.
And
right.
it's about being fully who you are and never let anyone tell you you
mm.
shouldn't. Like, you know, the example is so key. Like if somebody came up to you and said, oh, my gosh,
mm.
you should wear your hair should be so blonde and short
mm,
and
mm.
spiky.
Right.
And you think,
right.
nah, I don't want to do that. But
okay.
most people won't go and do that. They're
right.
willing to say, no, my hair is down to my back. I love my hair long and flowy
right,
and red.
Right.
We're
right.
easily able to stand
right.
up to that. But when someone
right.
says, you know, you're running your business wrong, because maybe you don't have as much success as the other person, you're like, well,
right.
okay, I'll change it.
Mm.
Just don't let that happen to you. Don't let anyone hijack what you do and how you do it best.
Mm. And thank you so much for that. And it's so important for people to not just go with the flow and just engage in the, you know, conformity. You know, they have
yeah.
to live life true to themselves. And you know, it's interesting how the most successful people, they actually had thick skin where they didn't let people kind of steal their dreams or naysayers kind of let, you know,
yeah.
Make them, you know, turn away from the dreams. Because, you hear about these stories about Abraham Lincoln, right? And how he overcame all this failure. And, you know, the Beatles were once told by an executive that their music would never sell. And Elvis was fired from the Grand Ole Opry before he was famous, and the guy said,
"Well,
you know,
Lucille Ball,
make it. Yeah, yeah,
right. That's at YouTube. You look on YouTube, greatest failures. I mean, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I'm from Chicago.
Right.
I've been to plenty Michael Jordan games. Lucille Ball wasn't
yeah.
funny enough. I wasn't smart enough. Somebody else is too
right.
old, too short, too fat, too skinny, too black,
yeah.
too white, too
yeah.
whatever. And
right.
and truth be told, if we
right.
stand confidently in
right.
all that we do. Now, we can't
yeah.
change society, and I'm not going to go anywhere political or anything, but if we can't change society, all we can do is change ourselves. And I don't know, you're so well-read, and you cite very good authors, but I don't know who said this, but change, the saying is, change me, not my circumstances.
Oh,
Because our circumstances are merely a mirror of who we are being. If you have 10 sales conversations and 10 people say to you, I'm broke, there is something in you that feels broke. If all you notice in the world are angry people, there's some anger you need to deal with in there. Everything we see in the world is a direct reflection. If your business is suffering, where are you a reflection of that? And you know, I was just on another interview, and we were talking so much about everything starts with the mind. Everything starts with how do you think, and the way you think is going to show up in your business, in your world, in everything you do. And you know that saying, coming from the drug and alcohol treatment centers, you know, fake it until you make it. Fake it until you make it, but man, you got to fix that inside. Faking it doesn't last forever.
Right. Maybe it helps in the beginning for a little while, but it can't be your whole entire life, you know. And it's interesting how you talked about that. You probably heard the saying that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond. And that's so true. You got to change you, it's not so much the circumstances, so to speak. And you can't let people hijack, you know, I like how you said that. You can't let people hijack what your life's all about. Like Rogan said, you have to be the star in your own movie. And that's so important. And it's interesting how you talked about constantly learning. And obviously, as humans, we'll let people down because we're imperfect. And, you know, and so that's something people need to realize. And you also talked about comparanoia. I haven't heard that before, but I like it. They say comparison is the thief of joy. There's, you know, and there's always someone going to be better than you. Perhaps they started before you did, and you should only compare yourself to yourself. You're only in competition with yourself. Yeah.
You know what I love about that? I've been an athlete my entire life. That's what helped me, like, just survive my life. But it's so funny because I'm the most competitive person on the planet, and I'll be like, okay, I got to surpass them. And you know, they say there's always someone better than you. But you know what?
Yeah.
There's always someone worse than you.
Okay.
If you look at them and go, I rocked it. They're not doing as good as me. That's our ego. Our ego helps us stand up straight. If we didn't have an ego, we would be a puddle on the ground. So, you know, they always say, you know, gosh, you shouldn't blame. And then you point one finger at someone blaming. You've got three pointing back at you.
I just
point with my whole hand. All fingers are going out. None are pointing back at me. It makes me feel better. That's the best way. If you feel like crap one day, think thoughts like, you know what, I'm better than them. They're not. Make someone wrong to make you right.
Yeah.
Then you can later on, you can go, okay, I didn't really mean that, but boy, I feel better. Do whatever you have to do. I mean, don't hurt anybody, people, but do whatever you have to do to be able to get up every day and look the world in the eyes and say, you know what, I got you. I got you today. And I'll tell you, people think, they look at me and they're like, oh, man, you've got it easy. You know how to do your business.
Right.
You know how to, you know, you've got all, I'm a real estate investor. You've got all this and that. And here's the truth of the matter. Don't let anybody kid you. Do not let anybody kid you. I wake up every day and I have to remind myself who I am, what I can do, and not let the world of circumstances drive my attitude and my results. And people will say, well, you know, it's easy for you. You know, I'm sure you feel good every day. No, I have the same mind as everyone else. We fall prey to the news. I don't watch news, but we fall prey to Facebook and the comments and, you know, crap being said and riots and, and politics. We fall prey to that. But if we can remind ourselves, I'm on a mission to selfishly bring my message, my mission to life, all else pales in comparison.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. And, you know, I like how you sort of keep your mind, you do your best to to make sure what goes into your mind is the right kind of stuff in terms of blocking out news, which I think is so critical, and perhaps limiting social media. I think a lot of people may need to look into that, to doing that. And, you know, and for someone who seemed maybe at some point in your life shy or whatnot, you're definitely a dynamic communicator. I can see that. And I just want to say, you are a comedian, by the way, because, you know, what's the comedian? A comedian gets on stage, tells jokes, and you know how to do that. So I guess you sort of are a comedian. So you're doing that already. And so, you know, it's and I like how you're a contrarian. You kind of go, if you're going with the flow. I think Mark Twain also said that if you're doing, I think it was saying, if you're doing everything that everyone else is doing, just stop and think. I think if you're with the majority, know, that's so important. And but you mentioned something before about human beings. It's sort of like you can't really trust anyone per se. And I know that sounds kind of cynical, but obviously human beings can let us down. So it's always got to be observant and vigilant.
You all know this. If you have a partner, a spouse, you're like, well, why didn't he know that?
Well, right.
Okay. First off, he's not a mind reader, and secondly, you've got to communicate. It's interesting.
Right.
I have people always laugh because they're like, somebody goes, "Do you think Jane doesn't like me?" And the people that they said it to started laughing. They're like, "Well, did she say she didn't like you?" And
right.
they go, "No." And they go, "Well, then you're good. If whatever, there's no mystery. Like, you know what I feel. You know what I think of you. You know, and it's a matter of just being able to communicate so clearly. And I'm so passionate. So let me just tell you a couple of things I have done within the business, because I'm so passionate about communication. I have zero tolerance for people being mamby-pamby. I don't know. You got to know.
Yeah.
You got to know. And people are like, well, you don't have to have an opinion about everything. Yes, you do. Otherwise, someone else is driving your life. So you've got to have an opinion. So I ripped off every personality profile on the planet, everyone crammed it into the Science of Jane, and I created Core Communication.
Oh, okay.
And Core Communication, also Core Sales. We have Core Kids, Core Relationship, Core Leadership. But essentially, it's Core, C-O-R-E, Catalyst, Optimizer, Relator, Expert.
Mm.
And we have identified the four people over my 30 years of selling of the general people that we run into. And what I've done is created an approach to communicate with each code, whether it's in sales, in relationships, in networking, whatever it is. But I tell you that because our true essence of who we are will show up, and when stress or pressure gets a little greater, it shows up even more. It shows up even higher on the Richter scale.
Right.
And communicating comes from understanding the language of who you are speaking with. So that's a big part of our business, of what we've done, is we truly brought it down to what you say matters, and how you say it makes the biggest difference in the world. It's all based on authentically who you are. I'll give you an example. So you seem to be reading a lot of the same things I do, but I studied with some of the greats, Bob Proctor, Wayne Dyer, Mary Morrissey, Gay Hendricks, Les Brown. So some of the greats, right? I've hung out with a number of them, and I would model them. But I went a step too far, and I would mimic that big difference.
Right.
And I was doing a corporate gig, corporate sales training, early morning meeting, and I was in my suit, no leather pants at that time. I was in my very formal suit and very polished.
Right.
And my mentor, Mary Morrissey, a former minister, was wonderful teacher, very polished and very formal.
Right.
So I was delivering, and she'd say things such as, "There's a green growing edge of your becoming, seeking to emerge by means of you." It's one.
Right.
Yeah, all these. And so I'm on stage and I'm delivering this information. And in my mind, I'm delivering it away. Well, I happened to mix up some words. And I said, so when you fully embrace and deliver the fart, then you will. And I continued speaking. And in my mind, I'm like, Jane, you just said fart. And thinking, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, you have two choices here. You can keep going. Or you can address this. You can address it.
Oh, okay.
So I went center stage and I said, listen, either not one of you are listening to me or no one in this room thinks farts are funny. And the room, like, they just sighed. They were laughing. They were going nuts.
Wow.
And at that moment, this was many, many years ago, at that moment,
right.
I went, I could have missed the biggest opportunity to gauge the audience, am I enough? Because the only reason we mimic and copycat others is we don't feel that we have enough to offer. That's why you see a lot of Tony Robbins lookalikes out there jumping around on stage, clapping like maniacs.
Right.
And there's only one Tony Robbins. Love him or hate him, there's only one Tony Robbins.
There's only one
you. So when I mixed up those words, it was the golden opportunity for me to say, you know what? People actually will listen to me. My dad was wrong. People want to hear me. And from that point forward, I started speaking with my genuine, authentic personality. And that's when my business took off. So anything you take from our, you know, time together is just be you. Be so you. And, you know, it doesn't matter. You could be the edgiest you ever. You've got someone out there to listen to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's funny. I didn't, again, I don't watch news, but I was, you know, like the rest of us, combing every Netflix, Amazon, everything. And I came across, and I used to watch Kathy Griffin. Apparently, I didn't know this. She had some controversial Trump thing. And it was after she had gone through, and again, where I'm like in the dark, but I looked it up and I thought, wow, that was a lot of trouble for her. But I'm going to tell you, she just did a concert, or I don't know when it was, but it was not too long after that. She had a full house.
Wow.
What that proves to me is you could be as edgy as that, as Kathy Griffin, Lewis Black, who I love. Like, you could be as edgy as some of these individuals, and still, you've got an audience. Mm. So be you. You'll find your audience.
That's so important. Definitely. And you know, and you can feel the passion. You talk about passion. I could feel it in your voice. You're very passionate about this subject, which is amazing. And thank you for that. That if there's only one takeaway people should take, is that they should be themselves and do you, as they say. And thank you so much for kind of breaking it down there. And it's so important for people to be assertive and to speak up for themselves and have an opinion on things, particularly women. It's so important. And also, people have to have the courage to live life on their own terms. Like the woman the women who pulled you aside and said, "Hey, I wish I could do that." They have to find it that bravery to do that. And you know, it's interesting when people are told there's something they can't do. Sometimes it motivates them. They say that Michael Jordan, he would be motivated when, you know, he'd put the newspaper clipping in his locker about someone who said something that he couldn't do it, and that would just drive him. I think Michael Phelps is the same way. So some people it makes them think I'm right, I'm a failure. But other people, it says, all right, I'm going to prove you wrong. You know what I mean? And I think you're in that latter camp. And, you know, and you talked about being competitive before and the ego. And I guess now you sort of learned that it's, you know, it's not so much about that, but trying to, you know, focus on yourself and compare yourself to yourself, as they say. That's the best way to do it, not to have comparanoia. And so thank you so much for all these incredible life lessons and gems. This is an interview I'll be listening and re-listening to a whole bunch. And yes. And, you know, so I'm curious, where do you see things going in the future, in regards to business and sales and I guess personal development, and where do you see yourself in that future?
Yeah, I love that. I love that when you ask me that question, my mind right away goes to, you know, everybody's like, this is our new normal. No, I refuse to have this as our new normal. I refuse to be on Zoom nonstop. I think we're going to have a healthy balance. I think we're going to be post-COVID responsible, I hope. But I truly believe, and this is interesting, I truly believe that now more than ever, people are looking to grow and looking to say, you know what, I was forced to slow down. I was forced to look at life differently. And whether they like it or not, they're looking at themselves. And I think that's the best thing that can happen for this planet nationwide, worldwide, universe-wide. And I think it's, you know, will we still get the, you know, in business, will it still be about the number? Yeah, I do believe that. But what I think will happen is I think there will be a line in the sand that the tolerance for being taken advantage of, for being, you know, anything that is radically inappropriate, I think the tolerance from the world has changed. I would love to see us a little less angry. You know, it's funny. I'll digress a little bit. So, I the young man, he's now 26, but I adopted at 10 years old, African American. I'm white, and we would walk in the world. And you know, to this day, when everything started happening, and he would look at me and he wanted to go do something, I'm like, sweetie, I have to have the talk. Now, I didn't know what the talk meant. And maybe some other people don't know what the talk is, but it was me reminding him the world does not, the world sees, you know, people say, oh, I don't see color. Well, I see color. You can't not, but you got to respect each human as they walk in the world. And he would look and he would say, I don't understand why. And then he would have something, you know, occur, and he's like, I get it. I get the talk. And my work with him and with the world is to say, do you, and stop putting anyone else down, no matter who they are, for whatever reason. And I think the most important thing in business is respect the person that is looking to buy, respect the person that is looking to engage, and honor the person's yes or no. And I think that comes down to just basic life lessons. It's about, you know what, we have enough crap going on in the world, in our minds, in our lives, in our personal experiences. Just stop the judgment of, because I think it comes down to paranoia and fear. Someone's going to take advantage of me. So I used to do some dog training, and the only reason dogs attack the majority of the time are because they are afraid and insecure. So stop attacking others. If you feel insecure and afraid, go get some freaking therapy. Like, honestly. Stop trying to dismiss the world so the world makes you feel better. And we do that in relationships. We do that in business. That's where competition comes in. That's where, you know, it's funny. I learned everything I know in business from the men that I play basketball with. And I'm small but mighty. I'm about 5'4" with some high tops on, about 5'4".
Wow.
I played Division I basketball as a point guard, and I'm telling you, after college, women didn't really want to play because, you're so rough. You guys are a funny breed. I could knock the crap out of you, say whatever I want to you, and then everybody's like, hey, guys, we going to lunch? And I'm thinking, what? They don't hate me? And I learned in business, it's not personal. It's nothing personal. But, you know, and I learned that in business. Now, I'm still the most sensitive person on the planet. I'll cry and, well, they hurt my feelings. I'm a baby. Oh. But I walk in the world with great confidence, and it's because I understand, I really, truly learned that from being on teams with men. And and I'm telling you, it. I bring my feminine side with the learning that I had, and I personally feel unstoppable.
Amazing. And there's obviously definitely been a lot of personal growth for you since, you know, if we compare yourself now to where you were in the early, in your early 30s.
Lord, you wouldn't even recognize me. I tell you, I went back to my high school because I'm writing I finished my book. It's coming out in May. I've got, you know, Speak with Confidence, Sell with Authority. That's the business book. The next one is Revealing the Missing Piece, P-E-A-C-E, which is for survivors of trauma. And it's you know, you talk about you got to be the star of your own movie. Well, this is a bit of my story with my healing and my new survivor method. And then I'm going to do a documentary because it's a matter of stepping and standing strong in the world of adversity, whatever your trauma is. But it's truly about standing up and just not, you know, getting curious about everything. Like that's my greatest response that I have. If people are like, "Oh, you suck," like, that is interesting. That's very curious. And you know, it's, I look at, you know, through the years of what I have done, I've been one of the few women that will be standing on stages with all these successful men. And it's because I am willing to write a check and roll the dice on me. I'm willing to pay to be on a stage. I think the most I've spent on being on a stage for an hour is $16,500.
Wow.
And I knew if I'm gonna roll the dice on me, I know I'm gonna come out a winner.
Wow.
And men, and I'm not saying women, please don't get mad at me. I'm not saying you're not willing. There are women out there willing, but more men in my industry are willing to roll the dice. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to roll the dice on me because I know who I am and what I can produce. And I'll tell you, every time I come out a winner, and, you know, sometimes maybe not, and sometimes I, you know, whatever happens, but I'll tell you, roll the dice on yourself because nobody else is going to roll the dice on you.
That's so true. That people do have to look out for themselves. That's so important. And obviously, you know, you have to have the confidence and, and people shouldn't sell themselves short and gamble on, they should gamble on themselves, roll the dice. I totally agree with that, you know. And it's
about having the right material to be able to do that. And I am a firm believer the right material is based on your own creation. And, you know, I'd love to share with everyone, if they go to yourspeakersuccesskit.com, yourspeakersuccesskit.com, I'm telling you, there is a formula in there that will be your intromercial. Ditch the old-fashioned elevator pitch.
Right.
Because 50% of the power by which you show up with is in your message.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I believe people need to capitalize on that all day long.
Right. It's sort of like I'm the student and you're the teacher, and I love it. And I'm definitely going to be listening and re-listening to this episode a lot, and I think a lot of people too. By the way, I'm also going to put that link in the episode description box so people can see it there. They can, I guess, either click on it or copy and paste. So it'll be right there. And so thank you so much for that. Obviously, you refuse to have what's going on be the new normal. There may be a hybrid of how things were before and, you know, now and how things are now. And, you know, we're obviously social animals, and so there has to be the high tech but also the high touch. So you have to have both of those. And so I totally agree with you on that. And you also mentioned it's important for people to respect people's no. Which I think is very important for salespeople to understand that their product or service is not for everyone and anyone. And, you know, And that's something that they should understand. Respecting no is also important in other areas beyond just sales. So that's very key. And also that I'm curious, and thank you so much for that detailed answer you gave about how you see things going and what and the stories that you've given so far. I'm curious. Now, obviously, there are so many consultants and, you know, speakers, trainers, and coaches that can help people and that are out there. And I'm curious, how do you stand out? Like, what's your competitive advantage? What differentiates you or your uniqueness in this regard?
Yeah, there's a couple of different things. One, and it comes from titles, names, and formulas. Mm. You know, the intromercial, we literally trademarked that because it was so unique. And people were like, what the heck is that? Our core communication, another trademark. Yeah. So certain titles allow you to stand out. Your personal brand. And I'm not talking about your logo, even though I have a really cool logo. I have that designed for me and my whole brand. But my personal, the way I show up, and I hope people don't think, wow, boy, she's cocky. Well, I may be, but I don't know. When I walk into a room, I have a mindset. Yeah. I'm this thing. I am something. I'm a big deal. And if you can carry that in your mind and you walk into a room and you're like, you know what? I light this place up when I walk in, not when I leave. People notice you. When you are willing to speak with confidence, sell with authority, that people respect that. And I'm not meek. Any chance I have an opportunity to give or stand up and speak, I stand out. How I show up on stage is very important. How you show up virtually is very important. And I think the one thing that I hear from others is they are floored, and this is feedback from my clients, is they're like, I am floored by how much you give.
Wow.
And how you care so much about our success. I'll have sleepless nights if someone is not producing when they're working with me. It drives me nuts. And I put the client's best interests first and then mine. And a lot of people I see in the industry, they don't do that. They don't, you're one of the sheep, just go with the crowd. What I believe in when I work with someone is their unique core code and their unique voice. It is all about taking their uniqueness and customizing my approach to what they have to offer. That is key. The other thing people know me for, I'm Chicago, right? Everything is yesterday or the day before. I am so epically impatient and people love it. I don't wait for them to figure it out. I'm like, no, don't do that. Do this, that, and the other thing, and now get moving. I believe we've got to be moving and getting results while we're figuring our own stuff out. I am so direct. I shortcut the success process because I'm just too doggone impatient.
I can't
wait
great.
For someone to figure it out.
So with you, they get there quicker, which is important. And it's interesting how you break things down. You come up with these simple systems that people can easily grasp and understand in terms of the core four and whatnot. And it's interesting how you put the clients first. That's very different from what other people in sales do. They sort of put themselves first, and a lot of them are real pushy and whatnot. But you obviously don't have the pushy vibe. You can respect a person's no. And it's curious. You're also a giver. I've noticed a lot of successful people will give, and they'll even freely mentor people, I've noticed, which is amazing.
Yeah.
All you have to do is that three-letter word, ASK, in many ways. And, you know, and the fact that you kind of shortcut the process, I think people really like that. A lot of times teachers can drag things out, but you'll kind of you know, kind of point the way. And if people are doing it wrong, you'll say it. But I think you would also support the concept that if people want to be successful, they should start before they're ready and sort of figure it out on their own. And this is a key trait, habit of many successful people to just start and whatnot. And they'll figure
there's
it out.
No getting, and, yeah, no getting yeah. ready to get ready to get ready and then check your readiness because that just, you know, and you know Napoleon Hill, right? Successful people decide quickly. If it takes too long, you're not fully invested. I've had people, I've been in sales conversations, and they're like, yes, 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 but, and I'm like, you're not ready. People, anybody who yeah buts me, they're not ready for me. We do a VIP experience. That means you are in a submerged program with me, intense, full, one-on-one. We hang out. I create your business, your talk, your messaging, everything you need, and then I promptly put you into a cannon and light that baby up. No, you know, waiting. I don't, because the microwave isn't fast enough for people nowadays. Like, we're like, come on, I'm hungry. But that's what people in business, they're starving for the answer. And if I've got it's got to be done now. And I've had a number of clients where they're like, well, I don't know. I'm like, then we're not working together. You either have to be fully, I am being led and you tell me what to do. Those are the ones who have made six figures within 6 months.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's not hype. People, I'm not hype. I hate hype, but it's true. I can name them. Yeah. RJ Redden, Jenny Harkle Road. I mean, I can name these clients that have gone out and have like just been shot out of a cannon because they go, yes, ma'am, may I have another?
Wow. I like that. And you know, that's so important. If people want to improve, they have to decide and make a commitment, and you know, and you have to commit and you can't be, you know, then that's so critical. You need to, they have to be dialed in, so to speak. You know, there's a, you know, the story of Cortez and burning the boats and whatnot, right?
Where the men wanted to, you gotta burn those boats.
Yeah, you know, and that made them commit, you know, so that's, it reminds me of that. And,
don't keep a canoe on the side, like no dinghy, no canoe on the side, burn the boats.
right, and that's so important. And it's great, amazing the results that you've gotten for people. And, you know, it's you've been doing this a long time, training people in sales. So you, obviously you know what you're doing. You've been doing this for well over 30 years. And you've written a book about it as well. And it's curious. Now, you've already given us a lot of moving and entertaining stories. And obviously you've helped a lot of people. You know, earn six figures. You've trained folks and taught people very well. Do you have any other moving or entertaining stories from your career in terms of how you've helped people, or it could be anything else?
Yeah, I probably have more embarrassing stories, but, you know, there's probably my most moving story, and you can look this person up. People always be like, is Heidi a true person? So Heidi Mount was a gal I met a number of years ago. I was speaking out in Long Beach.
Okay.
And I was speaking out there, and this tall, beautiful, model-esque woman came up, standing in front of me, big crocodile tears, and she said, I hated your talk. I hate what you do. I hate speaking. I think I hate you.
Oh, my God. What?
Thank you. And then I said, okay, how can I support you? And she's crying, and she said, and I'm going to hire you. Wait a minute, back up. I said, you know what I do, right? I teach you to articulate your message so that you can sell more. And she goes, yes, I need you. She said, I was raised in the projects. I have very little education. I've been a dental office manager for 25 years, and I want to be a consultant. And I said, here's the deal. I will slowly but surely put you in front of more people. And she said, I will never stand on stage. I will die. And I said, okay, we'll see where we're going to go, but eventually you might be there. So I found this out. She put a second mortgage on her home, took out a line of credit to hire me. I didn't know that. I don't like people putting anything at risk, but she gambled, rolled the dice on herself. I did a VIP day with her, wrote her talk, wrote everything. Now listen to this. Two days later, she lands a webinar, interview, podcast, whatever you want to call it, with the top dental consultant on the planet. And I'm watching her. I'm watching her live, and she's reading this talk. Because I told her, just read it, throw a few ums in. They don't know you're reading it. She's reading it. I swear, Luke, I think she cried, threw up, and fainted all at the same time on this webinar, or this live training. And she gets done, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm sick. I'm thinking, I have destroyed this woman. This was the worst thing I ever did. She called me, and she goes, did you watch? And I said, yes. And she goes, oh, how was it? Was I really bad? And I said, sweetie, you suck. It was so bad. And she goes, I know. And I said, Heidi, why are you so happy? And she said, I'm sitting there. I get done with the interview. I open my email, and I get an $18,000 contract for consulting. The next week, she got a $6,000 contract. A year later, they flew her, get this, they flew her down to Jamaica to speak live on stage at a conference. And she did. And to this day, it's only been 2.5 years, she went from making nothing, to multiple six figures, has a big house in Maui, retired her firefighter husband, and sends me notes all the time. She's like, guess what I broke this year? And she's constantly breaking records. And this is a woman I put on my stage 6 months working with her, and she stood up there and cried the whole time. I said, please ignore Heidi. We're doing exposure therapy. And to this day, she still gets nervous, but she has found the power of her message, which keeps her standing upright on stages. So that's probably my most memorable story.
Wow. That is an amazing story. That is
I love my Heidi story.
It's like, again, you have to be the star of your own movie, and it's like she went from being a caterpillar to a butterfly, so to speak, you know? And
without a doubt.
You know. Yeah, and you know, when I was doing my research for you before doing this interview, I think it was on your website, you talk about how speaking is the most powerful marketing tool around that people have. And so you teach people how to use it. Obviously, you taught Heidi how to use this most powerful marketing tool effectively. Yeah. Clearly, she knew how to communicate her message, even though she was crying. And she heard the folks. they heard that message. That's incredible that even though she had tears in her eyes and she was crying and was, I guess she was going through an anxiety attack. Is that, I guess.
Oh, terrible.
It's like a, yeah.
Terrible.
That's an anxiety attack.
And there are people that, I'm telling you, they'd rather die than speak. And I have taken those people because it's, again, it's not a speaking problem. It's a thinking problem. We don't have money problems. We don't have messaging problems. We have a thinking problem. If we think a certain way, we get certain results. So just think better thoughts.
Because it's interesting how, you hear about what's called automatic negative thoughts. For short, they call it ants, and people have to stomp out the ants, so to speak, and so critical. It's interesting. You mentioned exposure. You know, in cognitive behavioral therapy, it's sort of a tool they use with people who have OCD and anxiety. They talk about exposure, and I guess that worked with her, so to speak. The exposure
she didn't die. She didn't die. She didn't kill me, so it was a good day.
Yes. So that's great. And so she went from saying she hated you to now she loves you and mails you out letters and gifts, so that's great that you did that. It's interesting how the story started. You said, when she was crying and said, I hate you, but then I want to work with you. I was like, I wasn't. A little twist there. Okay. Wow. All right.
You and me both.
Yeah. I was like, where is this thing going? But then you were like, she said she wanted to work with you and whatnot. I was like, okay, I guess she sort of knew that she needed help, but
yeah.
Coming to terms with it was painful, and I'm guessing that's why she hated you, and you made her realize that,
yeah.
And so it's great that you're able to you're able to help these people and improve their lives, and you get something out of it too. You get to reach, you get personal fulfillment out of helping people to grow and helping to develop folks, you know. So, and that's why people teach, you know, teachers become teachers. You're a teacher, but not like a
yeah.
teacher in a classroom setting, but in this kind of setting. So, you know, it's so rewarding to do that, to mentor people. You know, some people will do it for free, and because they get so much out of it. And, you know, thank you so much for sharing that story. The story sounds crazy, but I believe it. Lots of people are scared of public speaking. It's curious. Now, you talked a lot about how human beings need to be around each other. You know, we have Zoom, but, you know, it's funny how I was speaking with one person, and we were talking about networking, you know, how people can network digitally. He told me that nothing would ever take the place of in-person networking. Nothing. And networking is so important. And also getting referrals, because, you know, they say the most successful people rely mostly or solely on referrals. And that comes from relationships in many ways. And, you know, it's better to get referrals than to chase people. You know, it's just easier that way. I'm curious, what advice would you give to folks when it comes to networking referrals? And this isn't just for salespeople. This is also for people who are looking for a job, people who already have a job but want to get a better job, realizing that no job is secure, even the one they already have. So what advice would you give to folks in this regard?
You know, the biggest thing I can say is be confident in your communication skills. Be confident in what you're saying. Make it direct, succinct, and to the point. And that's why no matter what you do, your intromercial, if you go in, and I came from the employment industry 11 years, that's where some of this came from as well. I'll tell you, having an intromercial, when people say, tell me a little bit about yourself, it is a quick, direct statement that people go, whoa, they know what they're doing. You want everybody saying, I can speak for less than 30 seconds and people go, you know what, I could talk about pickles. And they will be like, because gain that credibility with how you show up, what you say. Nobody gets a second chance to make a first impression. So make it right and speak it even better.
Okay. So it's so important that people have that intromercial. You know, I do a lot of reading on networking. They talk about always having a benefit statement. You know, talk about how you solve a problem. Like, you know, you work with these people to do this. And I'm guessing you would agree with that kind of that sentiment.
The intromercial is that on steroids, because there's literally brain science in there that says, position me, I'm awesome, position you, you've got a problem, and then position my offer. But it's not like buy my stuff. It's I help, and you're saying, that's me. I'm self-selecting, and I'm jumping in. I can't emphasize, but I'm biased. I think the intromercial is the cornerstone to open every single door, whether it's a job, a relationship, a platform, getting booked to speak, a sales conversation. I'm telling you, it will win you more deals. It's good with your kids, too. I'm telling you, I'm a bit biased, but the intromercial is the door opener and the deal closer.
I'm definitely going to look more into this. I'm obviously definitely going to buy your book and get your stuff. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, you talked about it sounds like hype, but the difference is the hype is real. And I can definitely tell that with you. I think you're one of the top people. I think one of the most successful people in sales I ever had the chance to speak with. So I'm really honored.
Thank you.
That you're talking.
Thank you.
People always say that I make people blush, but it's something. Something, you know, Barbara Walters makes people cry. I make people blush and feel all, you know, something. I don't know. So So definitely I'm going to look into this infomercial. If it's like a benefit statement on steroids, it includes brain science.
Yep.
I'm guessing some NLP kind of stuff or hip or not, or I don't know. But definitely I'm going to
check
it out.
Yeah. It could be hypnotic.
Yeah, because Tony Robbins is big on NLP, and so I was curious when you said brain science, it made me think of NLP. So interesting. All right, so I'm definitely going to check that out, and I think the listeners definitely should check it out. It's not about just, you know, sell for salespeople, but for everyone. You know, you kind of were emphasizing that because we all have something to sell. We're always constantly selling and negotiating.
Yeah.
Even if you don't work in sales. So so everyone should take a look at this. And you copyrighted the word intromercial.
Yep, trademark.
I actually understand what it means.
Stamp of approval.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, it's not an infomercial. The infomercial bores me with features, and this is an intromercial. Hit me hard and make me love you in 17.5 seconds. And I say 17.5 because that's how long mine is. And I work to get everybody else's down to that. So if you go in and you go to your speakersuccesskit.com, if you go in and yours is like, mine's 45 seconds, that's okay. Keep chipping away at it. It will come down, I promise you. And,
okay.
And people, just go to my, if you go to my website, Jane M. Powers, go to events. I've got a ton of free events that I do. Hang out with me. We'll get you out there in the world.
Got it. And thank you so much for that. And again, this information will be available in the episode description box. I'm definitely going to be checking out your free events at the minimum. And we'll be going to that site as well. Thank you so much for sharing those resources. It's curious. And so that's so important, advice that you gave us when it comes to, you know, networking, making sure you know how to introduce yourself with the intromercial. We've talked a lot already about books, you know, books that you've read, I've read, and you've written a book yourself. Are there any book recommendations that you like to give to folks or guru?
You know, I go back to the same thing. I'm addicted to Dr. Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. That one is fabulous. I am the Joseph Murphy, the science. I'm sorry, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. That is my all-time, that thing was written years and years and years ago. That is probably one of my favorite books. Of course, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles, who was written in 1910. I mean, come on, you got to read that one, and it's easy. That's the easiest read on the planet. But, you know, I'm not a big reader. I am a listener. I love to YouTube. Okay. I love podcasts like this. I listen because I can feel more I can absorb more. But, just expand your mind. That if I have one final statement, it's overcome who you have been to be a better and bigger you. Just be a better you.
Okay. I like that. And so are you a fan of audiobooks by any chance?
I love audiobooks because I do a lot of working out and biking, and I throw my headphones on. I go about 30 miles and listen and absolutely love it.
Okay. And so you also mentioned some sort of, I don't want to say gurus, but some sort of luminaries like Bob Proctor you like and Wayne Dyer, Brian Tracy.
I
don't know.
You know, here's terrible. This is terrible. I have stopped putting, Joe Dispenza is probably the one that I go, you know what, I love this. Unfortunately, some people, like I said, I've put people on pedestals, they've fallen off, and I stopped doing that, where I'm like, I am the highest authority over my life, I don't put my much measure into, I hate to say this, into a guru, because I want to partner with people, I want people to stand side by side, like I do with my clients. I'm no better than my clients. I just know something different. So what I say is stand equal and absorb what works for you, but never give your authority away. It goes back to never give your authority away. Always stand strong in what you know about you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for that nugget, that gem. And it's curious, when it comes to books, now you've obviously written a book yourself, which I will be ordering, buying, and reading, and speak with confidence, sell with authority. But I'm curious, are you ever going to write another book about your life, about, you know, an
That's the revealing. Yeah, the revealing the missing piece is a ton about my life. It's not everything, but it's essentially because I grew up in a complicated family with, you know, riddled with abuse, as I said. What I've done is I'm standing up telling my story and showing a new way of being able to heal some of your trauma and abuse. And that one, like I said, it's coming out in May, Revealing the Missing Piece. We're going to do some pre-sales and just get the word out there because it's for anyone on the planet that has lived through some struggle and how to look at yourself differently and how to walk in the world differently. So that one's coming out May 11th. That's actually my birthday. Thank you for all the gifts that'll be coming my way.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. And I'll be buying that book when it comes out. So you have one customer, and I'm sure several more. I'm also curious, are you ever going to start a podcast yourself?
Yes.
I know you like to listen. You are.
Yes, I have been a podcast hoe. I've been on everybody's podcast. I love being a guest, and I have been harassed by many colleagues. And so, yes, I'm going to be starting one podcast, maybe two, and they're actually, we're going to be launching that pretty quickly. And, Luke, you will be hanging out with me. You can't get rid of me. I hate to say it, but I will be launching and helping people monetize as I monetize my podcast as well. So, yes, that is my mission.
Great. Wonderful. And I don't want to get rid of you. I want you around me all the time. So I would never want to get rid of you. And it's interesting how people have harassed you to start one, and you're going to start one, which is great. So it's going to come out soon. I'm going to be a listener. I'm going to definitely listen. And, you know, I definitely don't want you to go away or to get rid of you at all. I'm definitely going to be listening to the podcast, and I'll be listening and re-listening to this interview, of course. And it's great that you love podcasts. I think podcasts, by the way, is the best way to network and build relationships. That's the main reason why I started a podcast, is to be able to interview successful centers of influence and plain interesting people. You people need to realize that everyone should have a podcast. You know, there's a market.
I think everybody will soon.
Yeah. That's how it is. And, you know, there's a marketing guru named Seth Godin. He's written many marketing books. You may have heard of him. Seth Godin, I think his name is. He's bald-headed with glasses. He says everyone should have a podcast, and that podcasting is a new blogging. And I believe that to be true. There's a way for folks to start a podcast for free at anchor.fm. Just throwing it out there. I'm not getting anything really, not for promoting Anchor. And the thing is, it's like pennies, really. It's nothing. But the thing people need to understand is that, you know, when you do Anchor, it goes out to Apple, Google, and Spotify. So, you know, people need to get on it. I think a podcast is a great way for people to expand their network and to you know, by doing the interview format. So just throwing it out there. And obviously your podcast, I know, will be successful. I'm going to be listening to it for sure.
Awesome.
So with my notepad and my pen, and it's curious, what advice would you give to someone who wants to do what you're doing, who wants to be a consultant, a coach, particularly a woman, you know?
All I would say is decide what you do better than anyone else on the planet and make it your business. Decide what you do best and what you love to do. And once you discover that, then get all the mechanics, get everything together, your messaging, what you're selling, how you're selling it, what you're selling it for, and then launch that out in the world. Just take action. Do one thing every day in the direction of your dream.
So critical and so important. And thank you so much for that. And, you know, they say one of the keys to success is that finding the next tiny, making the next, you know, looking at the next tiny step you need to make and then taking it, not getting overwhelmed, just taking it one step at a time and just focusing on that one step. And you said one every day, which I think is so critical. And to start, it goes back to the mindset of just to start. And, thank you so much for that. And important for a person to know. It's important for a person to know what they're about and whatnot, and what they want to focus on, and sort of have that ideal niche or client in mind, I guess. And it's curious, what advice would you give to someone who's looking for a consultant coach to work with? They could obviously go to you, which I think would be a great decision.
Call Jane. Go to jane@janeandpowers.com, and we will talk.
Yes.
You know what? I would say the biggest thing, and I'll tell you why. I have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars within my first few years on some great coaches and some really crappy coaches.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what I discovered was the best way to hire a coach was to ask vital questions. And I'll tell you, the question is,
right,
how do you coach your clients? Because most are a one-trick pony. They'll do the same thing. And it is what I do is I customize my approach to your unique needs. I would ask clients, listen, I would ask my coaches, before I'm going to give you money, in every email, and I'll end with this because I think this is so perfect. In every email, are you willing to put an XOXO on your signature to me so that I know that while you're coaching me and kicking me in the butt, that you love me? And if they couldn't, I'm not hiring you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Make sure they'll meet your specific needs. That's all I'm telling you. And don't go chasing 40 million widgets. Oh, I need a funnel. I need a launch. I need a website. I need a brand.
Right.
You need a message and something to sell. That's it.
Right. Right.
That's it.
So important. And thank you so much for that. And so you have to have those vital questions and to make sure, you know, that they're not a one-trick pony, and particularly that one key question that you mentioned. So important. And, you know, you talked about how you stand out and what's effective about your coaching and whatnot, that you're unique and you customize it. It's tailor-made to an individual. It's not a one-size-fits-all, which is great.
Right, right.
So that's why I tell them, you know, they should just go to you, of course, at the website you mentioned. And so thank you so much for that. It's curious. Now, obviously, you're a woman, of course, and I'm just curious, you know, obviously there's a lot of social ills in society and whatnot. Have you faced any, you know, sexism or discrimination on your journey and whatnot?
You know, I have not. I have not. And I,
I believe
because I scare many men and they've told me that
really?
They walk up and they go, damn, they're like, you are intimidating.
And
it's the reason is if you speak up and stand strong, nobody questions you. Nobody will, they're like, okay, that one, you must command the room and command people's perception of you. Once you do that, you're unstoppable, I promise you.
I've
never had anyone say you can't because you're a woman, you can't because you're, you know, whatever the case may be. And unfortunately, I think it happens to too many, but I have my entire life, I've held my, whether I felt it or not, I held my head high, I puffed out my chest and thought, I dare you. That's literally, and I've had men say to me, and I'm sorry if I can't, you can edit this out if you want, but I've had men say, are you a ball buster? And I'm like, am I? So, you know, if you believe in what you're doing, you believe in yourself, nobody, it's like playing basketball when you're in that ready position. Nobody should be able to knock you over. And I'm always in ready position to stand strong for who I am. So I'm telling you, men, women, children, dogs, cats, I don't care. Stand strong. Stand confident. And serve at the highest level.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. That was really a very strong, deep, profoundly powerful answer. And none of it will be edited out, so because it was so perfect and so good. There'll be no editing. Definitely. You know, if I had a daughter, I would want them to be as strong and assertive as women in the world, like you are.
I think that's
so important for women to be assertive. And I also believe a lot in female empowerment, because I think when women enter things, things are just better in a sense because women operate at a higher moral plane than men do. There's been a lot of progress for women. There's more that has to be made, of course, in terms of progress, but we have our first female vice president. No matter whether you think, agree with her politics or not, we have the first female, which is a milestone, of course. So that's great. And so, things are, and, it's interesting how you haven't really faced or you haven't really seen this overt sexism or discrimination because you've been strong, powerful, and, you'll play basketball with dudes and be tough and amazing. You'll be a point guard at 5'4", you said. and it's interesting and that you scare men and intimidate them. Wow.
I'm very loving, too. It's so funny.
Yeah.
I'm a big hugger and loving on people.
Aw. Well, yeah, I see what you mean. So I'm guessing they must view you as some kind of female drill sergeant, so to speak, like that guy, Emery, I think his name was. And you remember the movie Full Metal Jacket, that guy? And so, but obviously you're a hugger, you said, which is great. That's what you have to have that tough side and that soft side. I think not just women, but everyone. So that's important. If you're too soft and nice, people just tend to walk all over you, and you tend to just be a doormat. So people can't be too nice. People just take advantage of you or exploit you and fleece you. So that's been my issue, being too nice with people. And so it's important for everyone to be assertive and to stand their ground and not be walking. And, people respect you more for it when you're assertive.
Yep.
And they may like you even more or respect you more. When you stand up for yourself and speak up for yourself. And so I think that's so critical. So I'm curious, you already explained how you view things in the future, how you want things to be in the future. How would you describe the current state of business, the business world right now, and sales? And what challenges has the pandemic posed?
Here's the most important thing. I think what people are doing, they're using the word pivot. I hate that word pivot. It is like the worst, but I don't like it.
Right.
And I understand what I say is pivot is only good in basketball. Like you can shoot, you can pass, you can dribble. Like stop pivoting in business. Do what you do best. Just do it better with greater creativity. And I'm telling you, I'd be on stages. I'd be selling 20, 30, 50,000 from an hour talk. And then we'd have 3-day events and, we'd close anywhere from 760,000 to 840,000 per event, and we were living high on the hog. Well, what happened? We don't get live events anymore. So we had to get creative. We downsized to a more intimate setting, and we're actually finding we're getting great results from an intimate setting because people get attention and time with me. And Luke, you're invited to any of our masterminds coming up. Everybody is. You just go to my website, look at events, and we have that more intimate setting, and people are loving it. Because they're not feeling cared about in the world. So I think it's just do what you do best. Just do it better. Do it way better with a lot of creativity. That's the best advice I can give.
Wow. And thank you so much for that. I'll definitely take you up on your offer on these mastermind events. And pivot's a bad word. I'm going to remember, keep that in mind. I understand that. And also, you have to get creative, which is so important. You know, when life gives you lemon, you make lemonade, as they say. And, you know, again, it goes back to, you know, life is mostly how you respond to things that happen, you know, 90%. And it's curious, oftentimes with crisis comes opportunity. In this case, people actually really like the new setup. You know, it's very intimate, and as opposed to a large audience and crowd, they get that more individualized, tailored attention. You know, it's intimate and whatnot. And, you know, it's in Chinese, in Mandarin, the symbol for crisis includes opportunity, you know. And, and that's why I think that there's no way we're going to go back to exactly the way we were before the pandemic. It'll probably be a mix of how things were before and how things are now, sort of like a hybrid.
Yeah.
Because you need to have the high tech with the high touch. So you're going to have both of those there. And nothing takes the place of in-person networking and communication, of course. And but, you know, with this, people save time and money. They don't have to spend money traveling to a conference or event.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people are going to be working more from home than they did before as a result of all this craziness. It turns out people actually work longer hours when they're at home. So I think a lot of employers are looking at that and thinking, huh, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully this pandemic goes away sooner rather than later.
It's got to.
It better. You know,
as do we. You and I are talking. We've been talking an hour and 45. People are going to be like, come on, you two.
No, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I wanted to touch on this. You know, Joe Rogan, who has the number one podcast in the world, he signed a $100 million deal with Spotify. His show is 3 hours. So,
oh, wow.
So it doesn't really matter so much the length of an episode. I leave the length of the episode up to the guests, so if guests give long answers, which is fine, more than fine, I don't care. The show is meant to promote the guests as a platform. So if you think it takes that long, or if you have to, you know, to sell you, then that's fine. So, but I don't. So the length of episodes doesn't matter too much, because obviously people can pause it and they can come back and where they left off.
True.
I
have another interview in 1 minute. So.
Let me wrap this up.
Yes.
Can you go ahead and describe all the ways that people can get in touch with you to put you in their network or to utilize, or if they know someone who can utilize your services?
Yeah, absolutely. Jane@JaneMPowers. That's my email. You can send it to me directly. It does not go to a team member. JaneMPowers.com is my website. Go to events. Go to anything you want on there to learn more. I am on Clubhouse. I am on every social media platform on the planet. And if you want an infomercial, yourspeakersuccesskit.com. When you go to the website, go ahead in there. We have the mastermind. You can register for that. We've got a ton of events coming up. But more importantly, just any way you want to reach out to me, if I can support you in any way, please just let me know, and I will do my best to either refer you, answer your question, or get you to hire me.
Got it. Thank you so much for that. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. I wanted to thank you for being a guest on the show. I want to thank the audience for listening. I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. All right. And everyone have a wonderful day, okay? Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you, everyone.
You got it. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. So we can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that'd be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.